Kreishes Masech Tachuron Daf Kuf Tezayin. We will begin Beizah Hashem Yisbarach. Daf Kuf Tezvav Amid Beizah, 11 lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, the Gemara wanted to identify how we know the halacha is that Basa B'cholov is Osir B'hanah. And the Gemara said that we learn it from a Kal V'chaimer from Orla. So the Gemara said, but Ma'ala Orla, Shekein L'Hosh L'Shas HaKosha. When we speak about Orla, Orla is a food that was never permissible. Whereas when we speak about Basa B'cholov, of course, the Basa B'cholov was originally mutter, the milk and the meat were both kosher meat and milk. Only when they were mixed together did it become asur. And therefore the Gemara's question is, how can we learn from Orla to Basa B'cholov? To which the Gemara answered, we'll learn from Chametz on Pesach. The Chametz on Pesach is also a situation that is something that was mutter originally and then became asur. So ask the Gemara, but we can't learn from Chametz on Pesach because Chametz on Pesach is a Chiyuv Karis and Bas B'cholov is only a Chiyuv Malkus. To which the Gemara responded, Kali HaKerem Yichiyach, which is not a Chiyuv Karis, and yet Kali HaKerem is also Banah. So begins the Gemara by asking the question, Lama Lemeimer, why did the Gemara have to introduce that Kalei Kerem Yichichu, that we should use Kalei Kerem in this discussion? Lema, why don't we just say, we brought from Orla. The question from Orla was that Orla is not a good match. So we said we'll learn from Chametz Pesach. Chametz Pesach, as we just explained, was also not a perfect match. So why don't just Gemara go and say Vilhadadina? The Leis of the Ma'at says, we often have this kind of question in Shas. And the Gemara says what the Gemara often does when we have this kind of discussion in Shas, we learn with a Ma'atzad. If we can't learn from here, and we can't learn from there, we learn from the common denominator. Why was it necessary, asked the Gemara, to bring Kalei HaKerem into the discussion? Answers the Gemara, Amar Vashi, Shemekel Meimar, Nevela Techeach. Because we could have asked that Nevela is also Bechila Mutaban Nara, and therefore we would say the same is by Bas Mechalov. And that's why the Gemara had to bring Kali HaKerem, that to show us that just like Kali, that even though it's a lav, therefore the halacha is that it's not, it's also banor. Why? Because we would show that there's a difference, this is the way the Mefarshim explained, there's a difference between Bas B'cholov and Kali HaKerem versus Nevela. Because by Bas B'cholov and by Kali HaKerem, the person who did an Avera, he mixed meat and milk, he mixed Kali HaKerem, he mixed different types of species next to his vineyard. Whereas by Nevela, the person didn't do any Avera. And therefore, the Gemara wanted to show that distinction. Says the Gemara, Amalei Mordechai Ravashi. So Mordechai says to Ravashi, Hachamina Mishmed Rish Lakish. The answer that you just suggested, says the Gemara, is not that strong. Because Koma Tzad, whenever we have a Tzad Hashava, which we're trying to do in our Gemara, create a Tzad Hashava between Orla and Chametz Pesach, Begufa Bechinen. If there's something that would differentiate between these two things and the halacha we're trying to learn, that's a legitimate question. However, me'alma, to ask a question from something which is not part of what we're learning, loy pachinen, is not a legitimate question. And therefore, the Gemara's question here is, why is this considered a legitimate question if you're going to bring a question from Nevela? Nevela has nothing to do with our discussion. Answer the Gemara, if that's the case, we're back to where we started. Ask the Gemara, okay, taste of Matzad. So why don't we have a Tzad HaShava from Orla and Chametz Pesach to prove that Bas B'cholov is also Bahanov? Answers the Gemara, the reason we could not have used that Tzad HaShava is Meshum Deikol Mifrach. We can ask on that side of Shava, Mal at side of Shav Behen, when we speak about Orla and Chametz BePesach, they're all Gedulei Karka. There's something that grows from the ground, whereas Bas B'Cholov is not something that grows from the ground. And Rashi points out, even though that ought not to make a difference in Halacha, if it grows from the ground or it doesn't grow from the ground, says Rashi, what the Gemara means to say is that once there's a difference between the Malamed, the teacher, Orla, Chametz BePesach, versus the Talmud, Bas B'Cholov, if there's any difference, we can no longer use it as a way of learning. Ask the Gemara, so now, Ihachi, ask the Gemara, now that we've introduced Kali HaKerem, ask the Gemara, what have we accomplished? Hashtanami, Ikala Mefrach, Malakali HaKerem, Shikandoli Karka. So we brought Kali HaKerem into the discussion. But ask the Gemara, bringing Kali HaKerem into the discussion doesn't help us anyway, because Kali HaKerem is also Gedulei Karka. To which says the Gemara, Amalei Matchel Ravashi, Hochamir Mishmei Derish Lokish, Kol Matzad. Whenever we had a Tzad HaShava, Pachinen Kol Dechu. As we said, even as soon as we find the reason that they should not be the same, we can't learn it anymore. And therefore, says the Gemara, if we just bring Chametz BePesach and Orla, we have the question that they are Gedulei Karka. Bas B'Cholov is not Gedulei Karka, and it can't be a legitimate of learning. But, says the Gemara, if we learn it in Mamarta, when we bring another source into this discussion, that, so to speak, is a reason to learn the halacha, and now we want to refute that limud, the only way we could refute such a limud is kal v'chomer pachinen. If we ask a question that represents that there's a chumra that the melamed has that the Talmud doesn't have, but just to differentiate kol dehu, that is not enough of a reason like pachinen to refute the limud. Ask the Gemara v'lefrach l'kulan. So ask the Gemara. But now that we brought all these limudim, still Orla, Chametz, and Kali HaKerem are all Gedulei Karka. And therefore, Bas B'Cholov is so different. Why does it help that we have three sources versus just two sources? The question that these sources are all Gedulei Karka and Bas B'Cholov is not Gedulei Karka is still a very strong question that we haven't answered. Ela Amalei Ramotchel Ravashi, Hocher Mir Mishmei Rish Lakish. This is what Rish Lakish taught us. Chadim Echadim. If we're learning one from one, like we started, where we wanted to learn the halacha Bas B'Cholov from Orla, the halacha is Kula V'Chumra Pachinan. We have to have a strong question versus Kol Dehu, if it's not a strong question, Loi Pachinan, it's not good enough. And we did have a strong question because the Braisa said that Orla never had a Shasa Kosher. Orla was never permissible versus Bas B'Cholov had a Shasa Kosher. We started, as we said, with kosher meat and kosher dairy. However, Chodim Etarte, if we're learning from two sources, like the Gemara continued said, we started to learn from Orla, and as we just said, we can't learn from Orla alone. So that's why we introduced Chametz B'Pesach. That halacha be afil kol decho b'chinan. Now we have, then any good question will be successful. And therefore, the fact that these two are Gedulei Karka versus Bas B'Cholov, which is not Gedulei Karka, was a legitimate question. Now, continues the Gemara, Chod Metlas, but we have three sources, Kalei Kerem, Orla, and Chametz. Ihod Adin Vasim Ma'atzad, if there's a question that we can't learn from the third source, and now we have to go back to the Ma'atzad Limud. So as we just said, whenever we have Ma'atzad Limud, Parchina Kaldu, any question will be legitimate. Vilav, if not, when we brought a third source into the equation, Kula Bachinan, if there's a Kula or Chumra, between the Melamed and the Talmud, then that's a legitimate question. Kaldahu, Marbachinen. But just because we find a difference, that would not be a reason to refute the question. And now we're understandable. Once the Gemara brought into the equation Kalia Kerem, we don't need to rely just on the Tzad HaShav of two. We have three, Orla Kalia Kerem and Bas B'Cholov. And the only time we could refute that limud is if we have a strong question, a kula v'chumra question. If the only question we're going to be able to find is just a kaldahu, that this is gedulei karka and these are not, is not going to be good enough. But ask the Gemara, but we're saying Kalei Kerem made the limud from Orla and Chams B'Pesach a stronger limud. But ask the Gemara, why is that? B'lifrach, why should we say that Kalei Kerem is different? Because Malei Kalei Kerem shekein lehosel and shasa kosher. There was never mutter. Because the Kalei Kerem, when we planted these two different types together, so from when they started growing, they were usher. Versus Bas B'Cholov, which we keep on saying, was not that way. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Adabar, Hava Zois Amaren. What you learn from here is that when we plant seeds in the Kalei Kerem, so the seeds were usher, says the Gemara, it's not just what grows as usher, but Kalei Kerem, ikranasa, even what we planted, which were legitimately fine seeds, also became usher. And if that is the case, so now we have a situation that Hoslan Shasa Kosha Kodem Ashrosha, these seeds were fine before they were planted in the ground, and then they became also because of Kalei Kerem. So we see, so it's just like Bas B'Cholov, that it had a Shasa Kosher, and you can't say, well, Kalei Kerem never had a Shasa Kosher. Ask the Gemara, Moser of Shmai Bazira, the Mishnah, Mesef the Klein Perig Zay, Mishnah Ches teaches us, Hamave Otze Notzes B'Kerem, if somebody is passing over in a vineyard a flower path with a hole, and therefore the flower path nourishes from the vineyard, Im Hosef Masayim, if we now have 200, when we had this situation, they have 200 that grew through this environment of the kerem into the flower path, so therefore there's, if in Hosef Masayim, if we have this ratio, we have one chelik of Isser and 200, less than 200 of Heter, then it will be Osir. If not, if we have a ratio of 200 to 1, it'll be Mutter. Because unlike in all other areas of Halacha, the Halacha is Bittel Beroiv. Here, it's not Bittel Beroiv. The Halacha is that it has to be, that Kalei Kerem only become bottle when you have a ratio of 200 to 1. If you don't have a ratio of 200 to 1, it's not bottle. Hosef, but what do we see from here? When we look at the Kalei Kerem, we look at what grew. Loi Hosef, what didn't grow, loi. So we see from here, unlike what we just tried to say, we wanted to say that by the Kalei Kerem, not only is what grew through this Kalei Kerem environment Osir, but even what was there from before is Osir. Here we see that only the Mishnah is teaching us that only what grew is what we take in consideration and not what was there from the beginning. So if we would look at it that way, so then we could say, if we look at from what was at the beginning, it's like Bas B'Cholov. But now we see that only what grew is Osir. And therefore, says the Gemara, Kalei Kerem is different than Bas B'Cholov. Because Kalei Kerem, after our explanation now, is a situation of Loi Hosel and Shasa Kosher versus Bas B'Cholov had a Shasa Kosher. And if that's the case, we can't learn from Kalei Kerem. Answers the Gemara Amabaya. When we speak about Kalei Kerem, the Trei Kroksivim, there are two psukim that seem to be contradictory. Ksiv pentag de shemaleya, that what grew becomes osur. But on the other hand, the pasuk says hazera, the seed that was there from the beginning becomes disqualified. So is it only what grew or what it was there originally as well? How do we reconcile these two psukim? And again, part of the question, of course, is that the Mishnah seems to teach us that only what grew is asur, not the seeds that were there from the beginning. Answers the Gemara, Hakeitzad. Bezrua mikara, when you plant it in the seed, that bashrasha, as soon as they take root, the halacha is that it's asur. Bezrua ba, the thing that came later, hoisef, if it grows in, loy hoisef loy. But here we see that soon as something takes root, it becomes osur, even what was there from the beginning, and therefore it's not the same as basa b'chalav. Says the Gemara, Masnison, our Mishnah that's teaching us, and we've been spending shiurim trying to see from where we notice halacha that says that bas b'chalav is osba, says the Mishnah, like Tana, is not consistent with the following Tana. The Tanya of Shim ben Yehuda, Oimer Mishim Rav Shimon, bas b'chalav osba chilav or motba no. Shnemar ki am by bas b'chalav, the Torah says the words ki am kadosh atah. The Nemal Halon, when the Torah speaks about tray for meat, anche kadosh tiuli. Mala Halon, when we speak about tray for meat, the halach is osba chilav motba no. Here too, the halacha will be that afkad, the halacha, he says, on bas b'chalav, it's going to be osur b'chilo b'mutar b'ano. So one thing that's clear in this Gemara that is that the halacha of kalei kerem, they only become osur at the moment of ashrosha, when they take root, but not when you just plant them. So the Sefer Merafson Igra asks, therefore, a very powerful question. Why would anybody be chayiv for planting on Shabbos? When we plant on Shabbos, it's not taking root. And the root, it takes a while to take root only after Shabbos. If it only takes root after Shabbos, so it turns out I didn't do melacha on Shabbos. So Chaim Kanievsky answered that there's a fundamental difference in what is the iser by bas b'chalav, what is the issa by Shabbos versus what is the issa by Kalei Kerem. By Kalei Kerem, the issa is the result that I have now a mixture of two different seeds. And that result doesn't happen until you have Hashrosha. Shabbos, the issa is not the result. The concept and the issa on Shabbos is the melacha, doing something. And here, when I planted something on Shabbos, even though it didn't accomplish anything yet, and it didn't take root, it's already considered I did an act of melacha. So the question is, this is a question that is an important question when we speak about taruvis and we speak about bittel. Whenever we speak about bittel, whenever we speak about a mixture, and are we going to say bittel or not? It's only when something, when you had two distinct items, example we often give, the milk and the meat, and now they got mixed together. There, under the circumstances, sometimes we will say bittel and sometimes we won't say bittel. But if something never was separate, something which, as the halacha calls, noilid b'taruvis, it was always in a state of mixing, the halacha is that we don't say bittel. So over here, when we speak about Kalei Kerem, why isn't that considered a situation of noilid b'taruvis? But now, according to the way our Gemara just finished explaining, it's very geschmack. Because our Gemara just said that even though the Kalei Kerem is noilid b'taruvis, something got created from this mixture, but when that happens, not only is the additional part usr, but the original part that we planted is also usr. If that's the case, they were not noil b'taruvis, because as we've been saying in our shir, we had two distinct items. That's why bittul would be applicable.
We learned in the Mishnah, Rav Kiva Omer Chai V'Oif, the Isser Abbas B'Chol B'Chai V'Oif is not Midaraisa. Because he said, the Pasuk says, Lo'isvash G'di B'Chalevi Moi three times, to teach us excluding a Chai V'Oif and a non-kosher animal. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's what we learn from that Pasuk? Ask the Gemara, Hani Hafgina L'Shmuel, we need it for what Shmuel taught us. The G'di is to teach us that somebody who cooks chalev or nevela with milk, besides being over the issa of chalev or nevela, he'll also be over bas b'chalev. The second one is to teach us that if you eat the fetus of an animal that was cooked in milk, you learn yichai bas b'chalev. And the third gedi was used to teach us indeed, like Rav Akiva says, that there's no bas b'chalev by non-kosher animals. So if that's the case, and the Gemara is assuming that Rav Akiva certainly agrees with Shmuel in the way to learn these psukim, so then the two gedis are not available to exclude chai v'oif. And if that's the case, how does Rav Akiva know that there's no bas b'chalev by chai v'oif? Answers the Gemara, Kesav Rav Akiva, Issa Chalal Issa. Rav Akiva says throughout Shas, we actually hold Issa Chalav Issa. If that's the case, Chalav Amesa Lo Tzricha Kro, we don't need a Pasuk to teach us that there's Bas B'Chalav by Chalav. We don't need a Pasuk to teach us that there's Bas B'Chalav by Nevela. And Rav Akiva holds that Shlil, when we speak about a fetus, Gedim Alyahu, it's full-fledged meat. And if that's the case, we don't need a pasuk for that either. So if that's the case, so we have these three gedis available. Isle kula, the three gedis are available to teach us prat l'chai v'oif l'behemet tameya, that there is no bosu b'chalav. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer. We learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yosi Aglili's opinion is the Torah says lo seichel kol nevela, and the Torah says lo savash gedi b'chalev imoy. So we learn from here, Rav Yosi Aglili's opinion is, what's also because of Nevela has Bas B'Chalav, and therefore Oif, so we would say that Oif also is subject to Bas B'Chalav, because the Oif could become Nevela. That's why it says B'Chalav Imoy, only an animal whose mother has milk. A bird, mother does not have milk. So that's why he said that by a Chaya there is Bas B'Chalav, and by oif there is no bas b'chalav. Ask the Gemara, my ikka ben Rabbi Yosi Aglili l'Rabbi Akiva. What is the difference? It's the Gemara ikka benayu chaya. The nafkamina will be, what is the halacha by chaya, by the meat of a chaya, as far as hilchas bas b'chalav? Rabbi Yosi Aglili savar chaya d'araisa. Rabbi Yosi Aglili is going to hold that chaya meat is subject to bas b'chalav mid'araisa. Rabbi Akiva savar, as we've been learning, that the Gedi excludes Bas B'Chalav according to Rabbi Akiva, and therefore according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no Bas B'Chalav by Midaraisa B'Chaya. Ibai Seima, another way identifying the difference between Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, Oif Ikavanayu. What will be the halacha by Oif? Rabbi Akiva Savar, Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that Chayiv Oif is Einam in HaTorah, the Chayiv Oif is not midaraisa, whereas midarabanan it is asur. Rav Yosi Aglili savar oif afil midarabanan namilay asur. It's not even asur midarabanan. So I saw Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov asks, the Gemara already gave us a good difference between Rav Yosi Aglili and Rav Akiva when we spoke about chaya. Why did the Gemara have to give us another nafgamina? So he explains that according to the first nafkamina that the Gemara gave, according to Tanakama, Behei Mechai V'Oif are all Midaraisa. According to Yosi Aglili, only Behei V'Chai are Midaraisa. According to Akiva, only Behei is Midaraisa. So if that's the way the halacha is, so the Mishnah should have mentioned Rabbi Akiva's opinion at the end. What? Because he's the most lenient. Why did he bring Rabbi Yosi Aglili at the end? So, because, as again, as we're saying, the most lenient opinion should be mentioned last. Now the Gemara is explaining why indeed was Rabbi Yosef Aglili mentioned last, because he is indeed, in a way, the most lenient opinion. Because he holds that by oif, there's no bas b'cholov, even midrabon. So now the question is, why indeed does Rabbi Yosef Aglili hold that there's no bas b'cholov by the rabbanim? If the, even if it's not the raisa, they should have made a gzeira. So he says, so I saw that the Sefer Perash Yosef explains there's a very famous Taz. The Taz says that the Pasuk says V'yoy mashmini ima b'sar l'asoy, and from here we learn that a brisk could take pay if the time for the bris, if the proper time for a bris meal is on Shabbos, we make it even on Shabbos. And the question to be asked is, why didn't Chazal make a gzeira that you may come to carry the baby? Says the Taz, if the Torah says the Feirish that something explicitly that something is mutter, the Rabbanan can't say it's usur. If that's the case, here too, says Rabbi Yosef Aglili, the Torah goes out of the way to tell us that oif is mutter. So even though maybe it would make sense to make a gzeira, still he didn't make a gzeira because we can't make a gzeira where he holds the Torah says it's mutter. Tanya nami hachi, and says the Gemara, as we just explained, the Braisa teaches us that according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, oif is not also bas b'cholov, even midrabanan. Because the Braisa teaches us where Rabbi Elazar lived, we know that on Yontif, on Shabbos, we'll have to make a bris, as we just finished. What will be the halacha if they don't have a knife available? Can they make a bris? Can they prepare a knife on Shabbos? Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds, Rabbi Elazar holds that included in the heter of making a bris on Shabbos is even preparing the knife. This is machloikis, how far that means. How much may we do to prepare the knife? Does it mean that we have metal, we could form it into knife? Are we even allowed to get the metal? B'shamish Rabbi Yosef Aglili, they used to eat basa oif b'cholov. Says the Gemara, Levi ikol lebei Rabbi Yosef Rajba. Levi, who was an Amira, came to the host, to the home of Yosef Rishba. They brought him bird meat that was cooked in milk. He said nothing to them. Rebbe asked Levi, "Amayla tishtem tunu? Why don't you put them at the cherim? Because they're eating basa oif b'cholov." Amalei, to which Levi responded, "Asid Rabbi Yehuda ben Serahu. This was the place where Rabbi Yehuda ben Serahu was the rav. Vamina darshelhu, and I assumed that he paskin like Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Dama yatzah oif she'en lechalav ein. And therefore, if you follow the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, so therefore you can eat this bird meat, poultry and milk." So the halacha is that, says the Rashba, based on this Gemara, that if you have a question, as our Gemara, that is something mutter asur, you follow the Asrei Damar, you follow what the local Rav paskind, you follow what that Rav paskind, under all circumstances. And if the Rav here, Paskin, like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, then the halacha is that you should follow that psak. And the Rashbam in that tshuva says that you could have the same shaila twice, and at one time the Rashbam himself does this, and he'll say mutter and asur. Why? How could he give contradictory piske halacha? And the reason to give contradictory piske halacha is because we have to look in each place. So if in this place the Rav held its mutter, so we're lenient. And if this place the Rav holds its asur, so then we're going to be machmer. But the question that comes up is that we know that in halacha there's a concept of achir rabim lahatis. And if there's a concept in halacha of achrei rabim lahatos, so how can we have this kind of disputes? Shouldn't we just follow whatever the Rav paskins? And the answer to that is that we only follow the rule of achrei rabim lahatos is when we had a Bezdin, and the Bezdin came to a vote, and the vote paskined in a certain direction. So there, we have to follow the Rav. But if there was never a psak, this the Chazon Ish explains this, there was never a psak issued ben Bezdin, then the halacha is that every Rav could paskin his way. Moreover, the Rashba says that even if you have a Bezdin, but there's a place, a city, that is always accepting the psak of a certain Rav, then the halacha is that that becomes the minig amokim. The minig amokim of this place is that we always follow the psak of that Rav, l'kula u'l'chumra. And in fact, it's most interesting, the Eretz Yisrael originally was where mainly inhabited by Sfardim, and therefore, says the Chazon Ish, the minig of the Shulchan Aruch of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Beis Yosef, was the prevailing minig in Eretz Yisrael that was always followed. And if you have an Ashkenazi Jew coming to Eretz Yisrael at that time, he would have to follow the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Chochmas Odom says, when it comes, a subject that we discussed extensively in our Masechta, when it comes to speaking about meat, and when is a meat considered, when we speak at the lung, and we speak about circus in the lung, and the meaning of the Ramah, the position of the Ramah regarding checking the lung if it's kosher or not, is more lenient than the opinion of the Beis Yosef. That's what's known as Beis Yosef, Chalak Beis Yosef, says the Chochmas Odom, at the time when Eretz Yisrael was mainly inhabited by Sephardic Jews, an Ashkenazic Jew who lived in Eretz Yisrael would have to follow the Pesach of the Beis Yosef as far as that question. Only what happened in later years, where there's such large communities, Baruch Hashem and Eretz Yisrael, both of Sephardic Jews and Ashkenazic Jews, so it's no longer a place that has a minig kavua. Once it's no longer a place that has a minig kavua, so every kehillah follows its minig. Moreover, a very important point the Ramosha makes, we're saying that every place should follow the psak of their Rav. And they says Ramosha, you can't just say that you're going to follow the psak of any Rav and say, we're following that psak no matter what, l'kula l'chumra. Ramosha says we could only follow that type of an approach, says Ramosha Zatzal, in a case where it is, where the Rav is a Gadol b'Yisrael. You can't just say that this Rav is our Rav, l'kula l'chumra. The place, he asks, Rav Yossi HaGlili said that by Basar Oif, there is no Basar B'Cholov, even with Rabbanim. So before we ask the question, why not? But then the place he asks, why is there no concern of Maris Ayin? If somebody sees somebody eating poultry with milk, he may get confused and think he's eating real meat with milk. Answers the Placey, when something is, it should be also because of Maris Ayin. Says the Placey, when something is Shkiach, when something is common, we don't say Maris Ayin. And if it was so common that they ate poultry with milk, there is no concern for Maris Ayin. When one shechs an animal that nursed, sometimes we're going to find in the stomach milk. That milk, which is in the stomach, which is known as rennet, is what is used to make cheese. You put some rennet into the milk, and that rennet will make the milk curdle into cheese, or you can use some of the skin of the stomach, the actual stomach, again, to make cheese. What we're going to learn now in our Mishnah is what is the status of milk that's found in an animal that's not kosher, or an animal that nursed from a non-kosher animal. what will be the status of that milk? Can we use that milk for purposes of making cheese? Or, because we found it in the stomach of a kosher animal, or do we look at where the milk came from? And if the milk came from a non-kosher animal, then that milk cannot be used to make cheese. So says the Mishnah, kabus. And again, even though the Mishnah is using the word kabus, which technically means the stomach, when the Mishnah used the word kabus in our context, it's speaking about the milk, the rennet, that's found in the stomach of this animal. Kabus over the kechavim, the rennet that was found in the stomach of an animal that was slaughtered by a nochri, or it was found in the stomach of a nevela. The halacha is a surah. It gets the status of iser. It's considered the same as from where it came from, and therefore it cannot be used to make cheese. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, hamamet ba'or kevus shukev k'shera. If, as we said, you could use the stomach meat, the stomach lining, to make cheese. If you make cheese that way, imyesh benois and tam, if that or gives tam to the milk, hareza surah, because now we have a combination of basa b'chalav, and therefore it would be asur. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, sheirish yonkim and a treifa. If you have a kosher animal that nursed from a treifa animal, sheirish yonkim and a treifa kevasa sura. The rennet that's found inside, the rennet that's found inside is considered non-kosher and cannot be used to make cheese. On the other hand, treifa shiyankim in a ksheira. If you have a treifa animal, but the milk that's the rennet that's found there is from a kosher animal, there comes kevasamataris. The milk, the rennet is going to be kosher and can be used to make cheese. And the reason is because when we look at this rennet, the way the halacha looks at this rennet is b'neishikonis b'meah. It's viewed as just something that's being held there. And since it's used as something that's used there, the halacha is that we look at it from where it came. It's therefore, if it came from kosher, it's kosher. And if it came from non-kosher, it's not. If it came from non-kosher, it's not kosher. It says the Gemara, Otu kevus of the chavim la nevelahi. The Mishnah spoke about kevus of the chavim and the keva of a nevela. So ask the Gemara, isn't the keva of an animal that was slaughtered by an ovi chavim automatically nevela? As we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, when a nochri shechts a animal, it's considered, it's not kosher. Nochri can't be a shaychet. Answers the Gemara, Amar Huna Hocha, our Mishnah speaking about B'lekech Gedim and Avd Chacham Maskinim. We're speaking about you bought an animal from a nochri, and you find rennet in the stomach, and we need to be concerned. Cheshin and Shem Yonak Min Atreifa, Chazal were concerned that this animal nursed from a non-treifa animal, and therefore the rennet is also. Ask the Gemara, is that a concern? But Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, we could buy eggs from a nochri. We need not be concerned. We don't have to be concerned that maybe the egg came from a nevela. We don't have to be concerned that perhaps the egg came from a treifa. So why over here are we concerned? Ask the Gemara. Answers the Gemara Eima, Cheshin Hashem Yonak Min HaTemeya. What we need to be concerned is it came from a non-kosher animal. Says the Gemara, or ask the Gemara, Maisha Treifa Loi Cheshinan, why don't we have to be concerned about a treifa, that it came from a treifa, whereas Maisha Temeya the Cheshinan, why do we need to be concerned it came from a non-kosher animal? Answers the Gemara, treifa, that to have an animal which is a treifa, Loi Shkicha, is not common, and therefore we need not be concerned about it. On the other hand, Tmeya Shchicha, and since a non-Jew has Tmeya meat all the time, That's why tvei animals, we have to be concerned. Ask the Gemara, if shchicha, if non-kosher animals are so common, then the halacha should be a fil gabe didan nechesh. Even if we find rennet in the stomach of an animal that is by a Jew, why should we not be concerned that it has that milk from a non-kosher animal? Answers the Gemara, Anan, when we speak about Klai Yisrael, the Medlina Minayu, that we don't eat non-kosher animals. The Chazinalu, if we see a non-kosher animal, we Mafreshinalu, or we see even a kosher animal that nursed from a non-kosher animal, we're going to separate that animal. So therefore, like Gazabar Abaddon, Chazal did not see a reason to make that animal also. However, Inu, the Loi B'dei L'Menayu, they who don't separate themselves from eating non-kosher animals, V'kichazaluhu, and if they see a non-kosher animal and they see their animal nursing from a non-kosher animal, Loi Mafishalu, that doesn't bring any concern to them, Gazba Rabbonim. So from here we see that we have to be careful that our animals should not nurse from non-kosher animals, because it would make the rennet non-kosher. But this also has relevance, says the Nishmas Adam, that we should be careful not to allow our animals to eat chametz on Pesach. Because again, it would mean that our animals are surviving off the chametz. And the question is, what is the halacha? What is the status of an animal? What is the status of the milk of an animal that ate chametz? And really, this is connected to the question of chametz of behemish and espatma be'isser. If an animal was fed something that's not kosher, it affects the kashrus of the animal. The Nishmas Adam says that certainly in a case that the animal is not only eating chametz, one could drink the milk of such an animal, but he then suggests that when it comes to chametz and Pesach, we should try to avoid serving animals chametz. Says the Mishnah Brura regarding this question, Linyan Chosha Behemish Achelos Chametz, regarding an animal that eats chametz, Afilu Shil Nochri, even if it belongs to non-Jew, Nechelku Achorin Bezed, there's a question, Das Prima Godem Lahata Cholov Chova Achameis Leis Shachel Chametz, if you waited to milk until after 24 hours after you ate the chametz, B'yesh Makilim Afil Boi B'yoyim, if Echelos Shachas Averz Medvarim Mutarim. So the Mishnah Brura, his opinion is that if the animal ate only chametz, we should not milk that animal for at least 24 hours. If, on the other hand, says the Mishnah Brura, it ate chametz food and non-chametz food, there is room to be lenient. Says Ramosha Zatzal, that even though the Mishnah Brura takes this lenient opinion, he says, the Baal Nefesh, Ramosha says, Yach Malatzmai, somebody should try to avoid drinking milk on Pesach from an animal that ate any chametz. But Ramosha says that when is he going to take that stricter approach? Says Ramosha, I take that stricter approach only if it belonged to a Jew. But if you have a case where the animal belongs to a Nochri, and certainly not only does the animal belong to Nochri, but the animal has a diet of a combination of chametz and non-chametz, even Ramosha, because it belongs to non-Jew, and because it has this combined diet, there's room for leniency. Shmuel, we go back to the original question, that why did the Mishnah have to speak both about Kebis Ovdek Chavim and Kebis Nevela? Says the Gemara, for Shmuel, says the Gemara, Chadik Tani. The way to understand the Mishnah is speaking about one case. Kebis Shchitis Ovdek Chavim, that whenever a Nachri Shechs, it's considered like Nevela. Ask the Gemara, is that Shmuel's opinion, that the rennet that's found in the Nevela is Osir, Ask the Marmi Amishmul Hakiv Amishmul, Neima Amr Gvinas Ayv Chavim. Why did they say that we can't eat? Why did Chazal make a Gzeira a Gvinas Akum? And it's important to point out that Gvinas Akum is not Cholav Akum. Cholav Akum is the milk. Gvinas Akum is cheese that is made by a Nachri. No matter what type of milk you begin with, the loch is its osur. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Hey Yomen Aleph teaches us. And the reason it's osur is when they shem emidin oisoy be'or kevus nevela. Because they put in the kevus nevela. So we see that kevus nevela, the meat is osur. It seems that the keva, the rennet is sharia, answers the Gemara, because we look in Masechta Avodah Zarah, and Daf Chav Tes, the Mishnah says that originally Rabbi Shua held that Kavis Nevela is Osir. But then he changed his mind and he said that it's Mutter. And that's what it says. When he said that it's Osir, it was before Rabbi Shua retracted. Kodim Chazara. And now when Shmuel says that the rennet is Mutter, is after Rabbi Shua reversed, is after Rabbi Shua reversed his opinion. And therefore, there's no problem with the rennet just because it comes from a nachri. Just because it's the skin that we're worried about, not the keva. Answers the Gemara, Ksherish Yonkim and a trefa. So we spoke in the Mishnah. If a kosher animal nursed from a trefa animal, the rennet is trefa. And vice versa, if a trefa animal nursed from a kosher animal, the rennet is mutter. Ask the Gemara, but haven't we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, Kevus Avit Chamishon Nevela, Asura, so doesn't our Mishnah seem to say that the keva that the rennet that's found in the kosher animal, in this non-kosher animal, is always not acceptable, making no difference from where it nursed. Answers the Gemara, because the ratio near Kaichel Nevelas, the Reish is speaking about where it's nevela, and when you're going to use the rennet, it looks like you're eating nevela. Hacha, here in the Sefer, there was a shechita, and therefore the rennet is mutter. Amalei, on the contrary, the lav kol d'cheni, ma nevela de meisa. If, when we have nevela meat, the isharas de kavasa, even if somebody's going to allow one to eat the rennet, las nobody's going to eat nevela meat. Amrit loy, we say we can't use the rennet. Trefa, shchuta. In their world, nevela meat, animal that died by itself, was considered repugnant. So certainly ask the Gemara when it's the shchuta meat, the shoris, if we're going to allow you to eat, to use the rennet. There's a real concern, asked the Gemara. If we're going to allow you to use the rennet, there's a real concern that os lemechumenei, you may come to eat that meat. So certainly, ought not the halacha to be like kolshkein that the rennet should be osur. El amaretz amar Rav Yochanan loykasha kan chaydim chazara. The Reish is speaking before they retracted about the halacha, as we learned in the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, to retract regarding rennet, and that's why the Reish says it's also. But Kalach Chazara, where they said the rennet in the nevela is mutter. So why did the Mishnah still state it the way it stated? It's because Mishnah is also Mekaymai. They didn't change the wording of the Mishnah because they learned Mishnayis Bal Peh, and since they learned Mishnayis Bal Peh, they didn't want to change the wording because it would get confusion. Amar Rav Chibar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Amidim Bekevus Nevelas. We could make cheese with the rennet that's found in the nevela. We can't use the rennet of an animal that was slaughtered by a nachri. Amar Lefanav, Rav Shimon Bar Abba. So Rav Shimon Bar Abba asked the command, whose opinion does this follow? Kirby Glezer. Domer, Stam Makshev, Savaritz Kavim, Lavaritz Kavim. We learned early in the Masechta on Daf Lamed Ches on the base that it is the opinion of Rav Glezer. Rav Lezer's opinion is that a Nachri is always thinking about Avodah Zarah. And therefore, if a Nachri is always thinking about Avodah Zarah, we need to be concerned that the rennet that's found, that rennet is considered, the rennet is considered like Avodah Zarah. To which, says the Gemara, Amalei Elakaman, who certainly he says it's following the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. What's the chiddush? Answers the Gemara Kasher of Shmuel by Yitzchak. Amar Rav Yochanan Amidim, Bein Mekevus Nevela, Bein Mekevus Shchidus of Chavim. We could use the rennet and the Nevela and the rennet of the Shchidus of Chavim, Shloi Lochish, L'Divrei Rebbe Elazar, and we need not be concerned about what Rebbe Elazar says that Stam Machshevus of Chavim Avodah Zarah. But says the Gemara Hilchos, Ein Amidim Ba'ar Kevus Nevela, we can never use the actual meat. Avam Midim Mekevus Nevela, we could use the rennet that's found in the Nevela. We could use the rennet, the Kebis Shchitas Avodah Kechavim, in the rennet that's found in the Shchita of Avodah Zarah. They may be used. The halacha is that the rennet inside the calf is not considered something edible, even though it's used for making cheese. The halacha is that it's considered pirsha ba'alma, and it's considered waste, and therefore there's no iser. However, Tosfos says, and that's the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam, Tosfos says the minig is not to use rennet from a non-kosher calf, even if the calf only drank kosher milk, and if the calf drank non-kosher milk, the rennet is not kosher and should not be used for cheese. Rabbi Tam makes a difference between congealed rennet and liquid milk found in the stomach. Congealed rennet, he says, is considered inedible, and therefore you can eat it with meat, and we can use it for cheese. Liquid milk, we can't. The Shach says that even according to the opinion that rennet is considered non-edible waste, l'chatchila, one should not use it with meat because of Maris Ayin.